We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show presented by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith back here now. Jeff Brown, our good friend, is here with me. We're going to talk some Penn State hoops. We just talked some wrestling, talking some Penn State basketball, and it's all coming up roses there in Happy Valley. Yeah. Every sport, it seems.
It does seem like that. It was a lot of fun to sit back and watch them dismantle the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, and 82-58 was the final there, and I think that was another situation, Jeff, where some people just were waiting for the letdown. That's not a very good Iowa team. But for Penn State to not only win by a sizable margin, but just make it look fun, I don't think it's something that you can take for granted there. It's not something that Penn State has had as often as people wanted.
No, it was wonderful. And, the guys were really into it. I know, David Jones wrote a column a couple of weeks ago about it didn't look like they were having much fun. And they certainly were looking like they were having fun on Saturday. Couple of spectacular dunks. I think Josh Reeves made number three on the ESPN list that night. He was phenomenal again. Mike Watkins got his 500th rebound in his career, in his young career, I might add. So sky's the limit for him as well. And it was once again, and it's the second straight time it's happened now, Penn State has a big crowd, a big impressionable crowd. And they really turned it on. They played lights out, and, Lamar Stevens did a 360 dunk. In fact, he had two straight dunks. It was just, it was something to see.
I can't really remember the last time that I saw so many Penn State video clips circulating on Twitter or Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. And I think that that's something, it seems silly or whatever, but for Penn State, still looking to turn the corner. For Penn State, that corner has been huge. That's a long corner they've been trying to turn.
And it's about five or six blocks long, actually.
Yeah, so it's games like this where the brand is out there in a positive way instead of the they let another one get away kind of way. It's important.
It is. It's absolutely important because that has been, unfortunately, the MO, and that's all the way back to the Jerry Dunn years of, you get out to a lead, and then all of a sudden they go cold for six, eight, whatever minutes, and the lead goes away. And people are used to that now, and it's almost like they expect it. And now this team is starting to turn it around and turn that thinking around and show them that, this may still be some fun this year. There still may be some nice postseason play going on.
And you see that, against Iowa, that trio, Lamar Stevens was 17, Mike Watkins 19 points on 9 out of 10 shooting, Tony Carr was 16. To see that trio plus Josh Reeves do his thing, Shep Garner 3 out of 7 from 3-point range again. This is there's a fair number of games recently where Garner has knocked down 2, 3, 4, 5 threes, and everybody kind of played their role, and you saw that dynamic trio or quartet, however you want to put it, really do some good things against Iowa. Everybody at the same time, which I don't think has quite been there. Everybody at the same time.
Exactly, and it's like it was New England's credo, do your job. That's exactly what the Nittany Lions were doing. Do your job. Don't try to do anything more. Do your job the best that you can. What was really refreshing for me, Dustin, was watching Mike Watkins, because most of the time he's just slamming them home. But he was doing some really nice work outside the hoop. So he was making maybe 5-footers, 7-footers, things like that, which was refreshing to me because that just means he's expanding his game.
And Watkins and Carr getting a little bit of that NBA heat now, and I don't think that goes away if the better they are. Pat Chambers said after this game that he was impressed with the maturity of the team coming back from that Michigan State game and doing what they did. Maturity is something that when you see the foundation and how young and everything, how they haven't really been through the ringer, so to speak. Maturity, I think, is an important part of this recipe, the winning recipe.
Absolutely, and it just hit me, and I know I knew it, but it hit me Saturday as I was writing down all the names for the PA announcements. We're talking sophomores here. Josh Reeves is a junior, Shep obviously a senior. But the real backbone of this team still are freshmen and sophomores. So So, you know, if they would not, I saw somewhere where Tony Carr was picked to be the final pick of the first round to Golden State, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But, you know, if those guys stick around two more seasons, where are they, where's this team going to be when they're seniors?
And where's their draft stock going to be? Honestly, I think it's still, you know, you're going to see the forecasts. You've seen forecasts for the, you know, the 2032 NBA draft with LeBron James' son going number one overall or whatever. So you'll see that anyway. But there is going to come a time where you have to wonder, if what's Tony Carr going to do? Is it worth his while to get out now? Is it worth his while to stick around? We'll have that conversation then. Suddenly now, Jeff, since I would say Pat Chambers' seat reached its hottest point after that Northwestern loss, Penn State's won 3 out of 4. The only game they did not win was on the road against Michigan State. But
we pretty much expected that.
Everybody pretty much expected that, and I want to ask you about that in a moment. But 16-9 overall and 6-6 in the Big Ten, I have to wonder if you would say at this point in the season that those would be the numbers. I think there would be a pretty fair number of people who would say, okay, yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at the Big Ten, now you've got obviously Michigan State and Purdue, but it's pretty chunky in the middle there. There's nobody, you know, running away with the next 3 or 4 slots. So, you know, Penn State has a chance to finish high in the Big Ten. They get a couple of wins in the tournament, and then all of a sudden, I think they could be, you know, maybe in the back end, but they could be in the big dance. And if nothing else, I would think they'd be a sure thing for the NIT.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that question about, is it too early to discuss NCAA tournament? Because if you look at the figures here, you look at number 44, as of last night anyway, in Ken Pom's ratings, number 328 nationally in the luck factor that they measure. There's something for you. The number 44 and some of the other periphery numbers will make a case, I think, if Penn State kind of keeps doing what it's doing for the NCAA tournament.
I think so. They should be able to beat Maryland coming up on Wednesday. And also, you know, they've got, you know, Michigan, they've got Ohio State again, which is going to be a tough game. You know, they've got Purdue. So there's still some big bumps in the road. But if they can finish strong, I think they can make a case. But I don't think it'll be a case out of the regular season. I think they're going to have to win one, probably two games in the Big Ten tournament in order to get consideration for the NCAAs.
Yeah, I think there's still plenty of work to do. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking to Jeff Brown, some Penn State basketball. And let's go backwards before we go forwards again. Last week, we talked about what Penn State needed to do to come out of that Michigan State game feeling good about itself, and more or less. Do you think that they did that because, you know, this is a game where they led, 54-49 with 8.5 minutes to go?
Right.
Or something. It was a tie game late, and then it gets away from them. But that's a good team. I don't care what's going on around them. But for Penn State to have been in the game and then to have lost the game late, did that kind of serve the purpose?
I think it did because it was Michigan State. I think the same thing will be said if they play Purdue, or, you know, after a Purdue game, if they would have to lose that game. It's just, Penn State didn't have the depth, and you could see that. You know, Michigan State can throw so much at you from 6 to 10, and it looked like the guys just ran out of steam, and they really started getting manhandled in the second half, and that's because they didn't have anybody, you know, backing up as well as we might like to. I'm disappointed, you know, in some of the bench that Penn State has that hasn't stepped up the way we thought they were going to. So they can't compete on that depth level just yet with the bigger teams. But to be in the lead, to take advantage of some things, play well in the first half, still lose by 8 points, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that since it was Michigan State.
Yeah, the depth thing is something we've discussed often there. And I said 54-49. It was 49-46 with about 10 minutes left was when Penn State led there. But yeah, the depth thing, it's still an ongoing thing. Nobody has emerged as really a scorer from the second unit. And they're just not getting a lot of production. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I have to think that in their games this year, Penn State is losing the bench battle a lot more often than not.
Well, they have to be because, I mean, Jamari Wheeler really doesn't shoot the ball very rarely. So you're almost playing – four on five when he's in the game, although he moves the ball really well. Nazir Bostic is average. He can put in some points for you. He'll get maybe 8, 10, 12 points, but he's really not a threat, and I don't know that he strikes fear into any team's heart when he comes into the game as far as his offense is concerned. The person I'm disappointed in is Satchel Pierce. I had heard so many great things about him in the preseason, and I don't see any of that happening. It looks like Julian Moore has shown flashes this past weekend. He made a couple of plays around the hoop, both defensively and offensively, that kind of had me saying, okay, yeah, this is what we want. This is good. But he doesn't do it consistently yet. So once you get into Penn State's bench, as deep as they are and probably as good a depth as they've had in years and years and years, it's still not good enough for the elite teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and you did see that late against Michigan State. I mentioned Pat Chambers' job, his job security, the hot seat, whatever, however you want to put it, but Tony Carr addressing that I thought was interesting. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Speaking publicly about, you know, everybody, whether that was a rallying point or whatever, about, you know, taking ownership of that and being a group that ensures that Pat Chambers, his job is secure. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. And I don't want to pick on David Jones, but, you know, the article again was talking about how they looked like they weren't having any fun and there may be some dissension. And I have never really picked that up. Like, you know, especially this last game when those guys were dunking, everybody on the bench was up. They were laughing. They were cheering each other on. This looks like a tight-knit group. And I've also seen times on the court in tighter games where they have had maybe a 5 or 6 point spike. And they are encouraged and they're screaming at each other. And I just don't see this whole tension thing. That article might have led people to believe. I think the guys are solidly behind him. But I would like to point out, and I think you and I talked about this earlier, if Pat were to leave, if he were asked to leave, how many other guys go with him? I mean, if Tony Carr is being talked about in the NBA right now, if Mike Watkins is being talked about in the NBA right now, if Pat is replaced, do they take off too? And if they do, holy mackerel, what happens to the program?
Good chance it's counterproductive. We'll see. And there's Absolutely. Also a good chance that Dave Jones just doesn't know what fun is.
You said that. I did not.
You hinted at it. That's Jeff Brown talking Penn State hoops. That's it for us here on this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.